Hi everyone, and welcome to In Christ Singapore this morning. I'm thankful that you are here with us. And before I go into the word this morning, let's pray together. Father, we just worship you and we praise you this morning. Lord, we just pray that you come into every home and into the life of every person, Father God. Father, we just pray that you fill our place with your presence, Lord. And Lord Jesus, we thank you that in the midst of anything that is going on in our lives, we can find our trust and our refuge in you and our hope, Father. We praise you and thank you for it, Lord. And we pray as well as we go into the Word today, may the Word be revealed to us. In Jesus' name, amen. Before I go into the Word today, which is called Our Identity in Christ, I would like to show you a short video. There is so much in this world that wants to label people by different definitions. And identity is something that is important to everyone. And it's created in different ways in people's lives. And it may even feel like during this time that we lose sight on who we are in Christ. We lose sight on the very security that we have been given as the children of God. And because of things that are happening around us, because of the different things that we face, it's sometimes so easy for us as humans to start to have our identity in the things that are happening and in the situations that we are facing at each time. And so many people, they draw their identity from the brand of clothes they may wear. They even draw their identity from the job titles that they hold, their main identity. And there are different things like that that have kind of, in their own eyes, started to make themselves feel like this is who I am. And when all of that, or when some parts of that is not there any longer, they don't know who they are. And as believers, our jobs, our career, or even the things that we wear, the things that we own, can never become the main identity of who we are as believers. But we all need to learn that our main identity needs to be in Christ. That is where we draw our strength from. That is where we draw our acceptance from. Because we live in a world where there is a tendency to value people based on who they are, when it comes to their status, when it comes to their look, and when it comes to the different things that they own. But that is so not how God sees us. But our value is in Him is fully based on what Christ has done for us. And if we were to imagine a scenario where you would be a criminal, and as a criminal you would be awaiting execution. You would be on a death row awaiting execution, being guilty of all the crimes that you have made. And as you are waiting your execution, one day you receive the news that you have received a full pardon of all of your crimes, of all the things that you have done, that and you are able to go free. You're able to get out of prison. You're able to live your life as if all of the things that you did had been forgiven you. And not only that, but you receive the additional news that you have been adopted into a royal family. So once you get out of that prison and come out from that punishment, not only that, but once you are coming into the life of the everyday life, you're going to start a new life from a position of authority that you never had before, from a position of privileges you did not have before. And so you come out knowing you have been forgiven and you have been pardoned. And at the same time, you come out having this new standing of royalty and promises and inheritance that your blood family would have never been able to give you. And when we think about that, and if we think about a scenario like that, honestly, all of us, when it comes to Christ, we have experienced something similar. Because the moment you and me received Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we were children of the devil, as the Bible says. We were on our way to eternal death, but instead we received eternal life in Him. And not only that, when we were being pardoned, when we were being forgiven of all of our sins, no matter what they are, when we came with a true repentance before God, not only that, but in Him, we were giving everything else together with Him. We received a new position of being children of God. We received a new position of inheritance in Christ that we did not have before that. We received a new position of authority, and all of that given to us, not because we deserved it, not because we had done something so right in our life that now we could have the privilege of being children of God, but it was fully by the grace of God. We were accepted, we were received, and we were forgiven in Him. And when it comes to that position that we have, the more we are aware of who we have been made in Christ, the more we are able to stand on a ground where we are secure in Him. That even though the wind may be blowing around us, even though we feel like the waves are coming and all of those things, but in the midst of that, and even when some things don't work out as we thought, our identity does not crash with that. Our acceptance in Christ does not fall and stand with the job description that we have. But it all stands on the very thing that we are that because of the grace of God. So God Himself has adopted us into His family. And it says in Ephesians 1:3-5, where it speaks about some of those promises that we have in Christ. Where it says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, by which He made us accepted in the Beloved." So, looking at Ephesians 1, it's one of Paul's letters. Just in this passage alone, we find so many different things of what we have received because of who we are in Christ. And one of those things is that we have been blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly place. We have been made holy, that we have been given a stand where we should be holy and without blame before God. And we have been adopted into the family as sons and daughters by Jesus Christ to Himself. And on top of that, we are accepted in the Beloved. We are accepted in Jesus. And the more we are able to look at life from that perspective, we start to see things according to the way that, not according to how the culture around us accepts us, not according to the way that the culture around us says, if you do this, you are successful. If you don't have that, you are not. But we start to see ourselves as identifying with Christ, identifying with what He has done for us on the cross. Because what we believe about ourselves as Christians, it can determine our self-worth. It determines our identity and how we deal with different things when things come up in life. And when we see who we are in Christ, it will also be the very thing that helps us to make decisions as we go along. It will also make a difference to how we prioritize in our life, as well as how we deal with other people, and even when other people succeed in life. So if I were to ask you the question, where do you have your main identity in? And if you were to think about that, how would you reply to that? Is your identity in the redemptive work of Christ, in what Christ has done for us, in the position of being sons and daughters of the Almighty God? Or is your main identity found in your work, found in the things that you own, the things that you can show before others in a sense as a sign of being prosperous in life? And don't misunderstand me, because I believe God wants us to prosper. I believe God wants to bless us. And I believe that God, as we follow Him, He is all for that, for us to succeed in different areas of our life, as well as in the, both in our job, as well as in things that, be blessed with financial blessings and so on. But that can never become our main identity in how we see ourselves. Because if we look upon example, a scenario where a father or a mother may have lost their job, may be holding a big position of being CEO, and there may have been a lot of privileges, there may have been a lot of good salaries that come with it as well. And then one day that person were to hear that they may have lost their job. And in that point of time, that person, father or mother, may need to take a job that has a less pay and not as good position and all of those things. But they have to do it for the sake of their family, to sustain their family. And if that were to happen, does that make that person of any less value in the eyes of God? Does that make that person of any less value altogether? Absolutely not. Because the identity that God has given us will never be found in that. And even though sometimes a person may go through times like that, where things did not work as we hoped for, things did not work as we had planned for, but at the end of the day, we need to know that we are accepted in God. There are blessings in God. There are inheritance in God that we can rely on, and that we can know that no matter what we go through in this life, no matter what challenge we have in this life, it will not define who we are. And as 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. So if anyone is in Christ, who is in Christ? You and me as believers are in Christ. The moment we received Him and asked Him to become Lord and Savior in our life, you and me became a new creation. That means that everything that we used to be, the things that we used to identify with, no longer is the very thing that we identify with at this moment of time. And the things that we experienced in the past, because some people, when they come to Christ, they may have struggled with feeling worthless, unwanted. Some people have experienced to be bullied. And all of those things can affect the way that we see ourselves, affect the way that we look upon ourselves and what we think is expected of us to for societies to accept us. And at the same time, we can have people that have their identity in the figure of salaries they get every single month, or the schools that they have gone to, or the positions they have accomplished in life. And maybe some of those things may be the very reason of how we have been raised up, how our families has raised us to think, how our families' expectation of us. But when we become children of God, and again, also not speaking against succeeding in life, because I believe in that with all of my heart, and I believe in good education, I believe in all of those things, absolutely. But if that becomes our main identity, it will affect the way that we live out our Christian walk. It will affect the way that we in how we deal with other people around us even. And if some of those things were to be taken away momentarily, it will affect the way that we deal with it. It will affect the way if we go through it with our heads still held up high, knowing the Lord will see us through, or if we allow everything to break down with it and tell us that because things are not the way that they used to, it means that we are not worthy. It means that we are of less value. Because it's normal for us to identify with something. And in a way, it gives us a sense of belonging. And when it comes to identifying with something, many of you identify yourselves with being Singaporeans. Some of you identify with other nations of the world, other cultures of the world, being American or French or Chinese or whatever nation you come from. And the same thing with all of us, having a citizenship is so important to us. And I believe most of us are so proud of where we come from, our origin. And for myself, I hold two citizenships. I have Icelandic one and I have a Swedish one. My Icelandic one is the one that I have been born with and how I've been raised. My Swedish one I received as when I got married to Christopher. But however, if anybody would ask me where I come from, I will always say Iceland, because it's national, I guess, in a sense, that gives you a national pride. This is where I come from. And when people ask me, when people mix up Iceland and Finland and even some of those nations, oh, so you're from Finland, won't take me a long time to correct people and say, no, I'm from Iceland. Because even though for other people it may not carry the same power, but for myself, it's something of a value. And I think many of us can identify with that, right? We can identify being proud of being Singaporeans, being proud of coming from the different parts of the world. And it has also formed us in a certain way. And if we think about that part, how much we identify often with where we come from and the pride we carry with it, how much more should we not identify with our heavenly citizenship? How much more should we not carry that proudly out and really make an effort to understand what God has given us? Because at the end of the day, even though we carry our natural and human citizenship, still we all of us carry the heavenly citizenship as well, which is of such an importance. And at the end of the day, that's where we are heading. We're going to heaven when this life is over. And many Christians will experience identity crisis. And many may be experiencing that at this moment of time. And instead of identifying with Christ, they identify with their problem. Oh, I am unemployed. Or even though that not denying the reality, but if that's always start to tell ourselves, oh, I am unemployed, I am this, I am that, and the negative things, and we start to identify with that, and we start to make it into something that that's who I am. But yes, at the end of the day, maybe when a person experiences to be unemployed, that is the reality, and that is the situation they face at that time and that moment. But that is not who they are. That is not their identity, because who they are is that they are children of God. Who they are is that there is inheritance in Christ. Who they are is that God has given them forgiveness and righteousness and so much with His Son. And when we look upon the Bible, time and time again, we can see how God changes people's identity. In a sense that He changes the way that they look upon themselves. One person would be Gideon, where he was even hiding from the Midianites inside a vine press. He was so afraid and scared. And in the midst of that, the angel of the Lord appears to him. And what does he say? He doesn't say, oh, you fearful man. But he speaks something that doesn't make any sense at that moment of time. He says, the Lord is with you, mighty warrior. And when God, because God saw something in him that Gideon did not see, but the moment Gideon started to identify with it, the moment Gideon started to see what God saw and started to live it out, he was also able to deliver the Israelites. So it has so much to do with how we see ourselves in Christ, how we live out our life for God. Because if God is only a God that is we are afraid of all the time, and our life with God is just built on fear, it will affect the way that we also live out the life for Him. And first and foremost, one of those things that we have in Christ is that we are righteous in Him, and we are children of God. And if you go back to the beginning passage in Ephesians 1 and 5, where it says, having predestined us to adoptions as sons by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will. So one of those things that needs to be the foundational part before everything else can be built is, of course, that when we come to Christ, we receive a forgiveness of our sins. But the moment we receive a forgiveness of our sins, you and me become children of the Most High God. It doesn't take 5 more days. It doesn't take a month. It doesn't take a couple of years to earn that position. Just like the illustration that I said at the beginning, if you were to be in a death row and someone makes sure that you go out free, but not only that, adopts you, you are being adopted into a royal family. And that is exactly the moment, the things that happens, the moment you and me receive Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. We are forgiven. We're giving a new stand before God where we are made righteous in His eyes. And we have become children of God. So suddenly, from one second of not having any of it, to the next second of having all of it by the grace of God. And to be righteous in Christ is that, what the crimes that we committed, the sins that we made, that Jesus Christ, when He died on the cross, He took it all upon Himself. And when we pray the prayer of salvation, in that moment of time, we receive the righteousness of Jesus upon our lives. It doesn't mean that everything we do from then is going to be without sin or everything is going to be flawless. But it gives us a standing before God of being righteous, that the righteousness of Jesus becomes our righteousness, imputed righteousness. We received it. It was credited to us. So that when God looks at you and me today, He doesn't see our past. He doesn't see our, the things that He sees is not our sinful behavior or our shortcomings and so on. He sees us hidden in Christ, so that everything Jesus did for us has now become ours. Everything that He lived a righteous life is like we have lived a righteous life because of what He did. So it was credited to us. When we think about it, wow, what a wonderful news to know that because of what Jesus did, I have been forgiven. My life is clean before God. I'm not saying there will be time, of course, where we do sin and where God will be dealing with our flesh and dealing with our certain sinful behavior. And there is a sanctification process to be lived out, absolutely. But the standing point, the position we've been given, is from that position we can live out the life that God has called us to. From that position that we have been justified. So the justification, it changes our position from being sinners to being righteous before God. And it's given to us as a free gift. It means that Jesus takes the responsibility for our sins, and suffered the consequences in our place. It means that something was taken away and something is added to us. Guilt, accusation, condemnation, and judgment is taken away, and the righteousness of God is given to us. The sonship, that we are daughters and sons of the Most High God. And as Ephesians 1 tells us, we have been adopted into the family of God. When we look upon under Roman law at that time, adopted children had the same rights and privileges as biological children. Even if they had been slaves, adopted children became full heirs in the new family. So, as we look upon that time during the Roman law, adopted children, they didn't receive anything less. Some even say that their rights became even stronger than the biological children. And they became full heir to the whole family as much as any other child in the family. And the same thing happens when we come to Christ. And even though they may have been slaves before, when they were adopted into the family, they still received the same privileges. And when we look upon our relationship with God and being adopted by God, being adopted into the family of God, we need to get that idea out of our heads that we are slaves. Yes, we are called, even though we are called to serve God, absolutely. But our main status before God is not that of a servant, and definitely not that of a slave. But it's a standing of being children. And being children has so much more authority and power than a position of being a servant or a slave. And when we have that image, it changes the way that we approach God. It changes the way that we live out our lives for God. Because as Romans 8:15 says, "For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father." So, because of what Christ has done for us, because we are in Christ, because of the righteousness we have received, we can now, as the Bible also says, come with boldness before the throne of God. Just like a child will run to their father, just like a child would, in a normal relationship, in a good relationship, would find pleasure in the presence of their father. The same thing with us as children of God. The gap that was between us, the walls that was between us and God has been taken away. And when we approach God, we don't approach God in our own righteousness. We approach God in the righteousness of Jesus. And when we come before Him, we can come before Him as children. Of course, we need to have respect for Him. We need to approach Him as the God that He is. But at the same time, there is that relationship that has been given us, where we have become not slaves, but we have become children of God. And the more we comprehend that fact, the more we are able to approach God as a Father, and the more we are able to come to Him in that boldness that we have been given as children of God. And not all the time feeling condemnation, feeling unworthiness, feeling like we don't deserve this, we don't deserve that. And even when we think about that kind of mindset where we're always thinking, I need to deserve the love of God. I need to deserve the things that is given to me in Christ. It will actually keep us away from the things that are given to us in Christ. Because we cannot earn it. What God has said is the main ingredients for receiving the things that He has given us is faith. So when we have faith in Him, when we have faith in what He has said, when we receive it by faith, that's when it becomes a reality in our life. Not unworthiness, not thinking we are the ant on the ground that doesn't deserve anything or anyone, but it's when we realize more that we have been clothed with honor and glory, that God, He takes joy in our lives. And He has made us of a status that is beyond anything that we could ever imagine. And as children, we are also accepted and loved. And we probably heard that saying so many times that God loves everyone. He loves the sinner. He does not love the sin. And that is so true. God loves every single person. But however, as children of God, we have the possibility to experience His love in a deeper way than we would if we have chosen not to give our lives to Him. Because the moment we become believers, we are standing before God, and that God is a God that wants us to know how much He loves us. He does love every single person that has ever walked this earth and will ever walk this earth. But one of our inheritance in Christ is that it does not only have to be head knowledge, but it can actually become an experience that we sense as we walk with God, that acceptance and love that we can receive from Him. And as Ephesians 1:6 says, to the praise of the glory of His grace, by which He made us accepted in the Beloved. Who is the Beloved? It's Jesus Christ. And where are you accepted? You're accepted in the Beloved. You're accepted in Jesus. So we don't have to walk around with feeling this unworthiness, with feeling condemnation. But we can walk around with the sense of being accepted. That no matter if society accepts us or not, no matter if people look down on us or not, or the position we hold, or the things how we choose to live our lives for God, it doesn't matter at the end of the day. Because at the end of the day, that is not the main acceptance that matters, is it? The main acceptance that matters is the way that God accepts us. And He has already accepted us in Him. He has already received us. He has already said, you are my children. You are my sons and my daughters. And as 1 John 4:16 says, we love Him because He first loved us. It's actually not the other way around. It's not God loves us because we loved Him. Isn't that quite fascinating? That it's not about how much I love God and how much I do and I do and I do and I do to show Him how much I love Him. And then He will love me and He will love me more and more and more and more. No. The very reason we can love Him is because He first loved us. Because His love was poured into our hearts. Because He showed us how accepted we were and how embraced we are by Him. He initiated the love, not the other way around. And because of that, we can also love other people around us. So we will never deserve anything God has done for us through the cross and the forgiveness of sin, or even the current relationship or walk with Him. The sooner we realize that, the sooner we can receive the things given to us in Christ by faith. The more we try to earn His love and grace, the more we may miss it. Because much of the promises given to us in God, the only requirement is that we receive it by faith. And unfortunately, there are believers and people that think that God could possibly unlove them when they fall into sin or where they have not earned it back. But the thing about God is that He can never love you more than He loves you today. He has already loved you with an everlasting love. He has already accepted you in Him. And there is nothing you can do to change that. And then I am not saying either that that is a permission to go out and sin and live our lives however, you know, we see around us and our, however we know it's not in line with the Word of God and His will. But it's actually the opposite. Knowing that we have already that position before Him, it should rather start to make a greater desire to live out the life that He has called us to live out the holiness, to overcome sin in our lives, will be one of those things that I will also speak about as we talk about, not today, but next time, in relation to that we have overcome sin in Christ. There is a power and authority in Him where we can live out in holiness. So God is love, as 1 John 4:8 says. It's His nature. It won't change. Whatever you do won't change that. And God is in the process of making you to the full purpose of your life. He is transforming you into the likeness of Jesus Christ. And He's doing that out of the abundance of His love. And Paul even says that nothing can separate us from the love of God. As Romans 8:35 says, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword?" So shall tribulation, the things that we are facing in this world today, will that separate you from the love of God? No. The answer to all of this is no. Nothing will separate us from Him. Nothing will make God love you less or accept you less. He accepted us when He accepted us in Christ, He accepted us with all of our weaknesses. But saying that He accepted us in Him, but that doesn't mean that He accepts all the things in our lives that are sin or contrary to His will. But He will work on it. He will deal with it because He's a loving God. And as a loving God, He will also discipline us so that we can become stronger in our walk. But we need to learn to accept His love. We need to learn to not put conditions on it. Because the more we feel accepted, the more we're going to behave according to it as well. And I remember just how it is to be lost. I remember how it is to not have hope. I remember how it is to not have Jesus Christ in my life. And that is a place I never want to go to again. But I also know and remember how it was to be accepted in Him. How much love was suddenly surrounded in my life that I had not experienced before, of unconditional love from a father and also from a community of believers, where it was no longer about me accomplishing something or me putting on a face and trying to be something, but it was all about what He had done for me. And the thing is that the enemy wants to keep us away from knowing who we are in Christ. And the more he can keep us away from grasping that fact, he will also be able to take away more and more of that security we have in Him. Because the foundation that we need to build on needs to be right. As we pursue our relationship with God, as we pursue our life with Him. Because we need to understand what inheritance we have in Him. We need to understand what authority we have in Him. We need to understand also in relation to our calling and direction, what we own and what we have in Him and what He has given us, as well as in relation to sin and the life that He has called us to, a life of sanctification. But if our starting point in all of that is not that we are children of the Most High God, if we don't realize how loved we are by Him, how accepted we are by Him, that we have been made righteous before Him, if that starting point is not there, it will be harder to comprehend the rest of it without by seeing it in the right light as God wants us to see it. Because God has now called us to a relationship of strained relationship with Him. But He has called us to a relationship of trust. And where every day, every single day, we can experience how much we are loved by Him. And how every single day we can experience how that love is unconditional and not based on our behavior. Not based on the things that we do. But it's just there. It's given to us. But at the same time, as His unconditional love will also work out the sanctification in our lives. But the foundation is to be right, so that when He confronts, when He speaks to us, we know that it's out from love and it's out from grace, because He just wants us to succeed in Him. So one of the reasons why many believers have identity crisis is because they do not understand fully how accepted they are and loved by God. And that's what I want to leave with you this morning. That during this time, especially now when we don't know yet when we're going to meet again in person as a church and as a community, and when things will, as it looks like now, it may be a while until we come back to the physical place of gathering of worship, as well as coming back to a new normal in a sense, when everything starts to open up a little bit more. But during this time that we have at this moment of time, it's so important that we pursue that relationship with God. We pursue that time with Him. We pursue Him. And we learn to let Him show us how much He loves us. That we can bring all of our concern. We can bring all of the things to Him. And He wants to be there with us. Lead us and guide us. Not based on what we have done, but based solely on what He has done for us. Amen. Let's pray together. Father, we just praise You and worship You, Lord. Father God, I just want to pray for each and every one that is listening right now, Father God. Father, I pray for those that maybe have been struggling lately with feeling a loss of identity. And maybe that loss of identity has come because of situations with work and situations in the world today, Lord. But Father God, I just want to pray for them right now. And I pray, Lord Jesus, that Holy Spirit, You just revive them again, Lord. You remind them how loved they are, how accepted they are, that they are children of the Most High God. And as children of the Most High God, they are royal. They are part of the royal family of God. And Father God, I pray that as they may be navigating the different things and going through maybe a challenging season at this time, may they not lose sight of who they are in You. May they not lose sight of their identity in You. And that no matter what is going on, that does not define who they are. Because only You, God, can define who we are. And You define us with such a wonderful picture, Father God, of that You have clothed us with honor and glory. And Lord Jesus, I just pray for each and every one, Father, that we can, all of us, can live out that life that You have called us to in Christ. A life of being sons and daughters of the Most High God. And that, Father God, as we live out that life, we will also live out that life with authority and a strength a strength that does not come from ourselves, but strength that comes from you, Lord. And Father, I just pray for everyone that are listening, Father, and maybe they have never experienced how much you love them. Maybe they have never experienced the love of God. But Father, I just pray that you pour out your love in their hearts. And I pray, Father God, that for the next coming days, they will just see through the different things, different ways, how much you show them that you are there for them, that you have accepted them, and that your love is there for them, Father God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Thank you so much for today, and God bless you.